This next song is I Will Wait on the Lord.
I will wait on the Lord.
I will
wait on the Lord. I will stand and sing His deliverance for me.
I won't be afraid in this battle where I stand, 'cause I'm hidden in the palm of God's own hand. And my world will see when the Lord moves for me, 'cause I know His victory we will see. I will
wait
on the Lord. I will
wait
on the Lord.
I will stand and see
His deliverance for me. I will
wait on.
I will
wait on.
I will
wait
on. Darkness comes against my heart and mind. Oh, but I know one day soon His sun's gonna shine. Until then, I'll not walk in just what I can see. Oh, but the Holy Ghost will shine His light for me. One day see, but today I gotta walk on in His peace. And in His strength, I know I can go on, because it's the Lord that I wait on.
Lord,
I will stand and will
wait. Wait on.
I will wait.
Wait on.
I will wait.
Wait on.
On the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And God can give you that victory while thank you're waiting Lord. On the Lord. Hallelujah. You just put your hand in His thank and trust God. In His. Don't jump ahead of God,
amen.
But wait on the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
God is so good. His blessings are real.
What a beautiful Sunday morning, the Lord's day. Glory to God. Let's look to the Lord and ask Him to bless as the message goes out to the uttermost parts of the world and those that are here locally today. Let's ask the Lord to bless and pour His Holy Ghost power and blessing upon us. Lord, we come to You in the name of Jesus, that only name under heaven's skies, wherein that we can touch You, Lord. And God, we ask You, Lord, in that name, we come to You, Lord, in faith, believing, Lord, for everyone in the sound of my voice that needs a touch, that needs a healing, needs a miracle, let them receive it in the service. For those in the airways across the country and throughout to the uttermost parts of the world, God, let them receive a touch from You. And Lord, come and pour down Your anointing. Anoint Your word as it goes forth. And God, we ask and praise and glorify You as You do the work we need in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God is a big and a powerful God. We have the word before us. The Bible said it's been forevermore settled in heaven. Cannot be added to, it cannot be took away from. Heaven and earth shall all pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of His word will fail. You can bank on the promises of God. What you've got in God will never fade, and it will never fail. What you have placed in God's care, God will keep. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that what I have committed unto Him against that day. So today, if we commit our lives, we commit our purpose, we commit everything that we are about and everything we go to do, we commit it unto Him. Now, I believe in wholeness, and I believe in it to the depth. But a lot of people look on the outside, and, you know, they pass quick opinions if somebody don't come up to their exact standard expectations. But when I go to God, I'm glad to know that God said He looked on the inside. Now, if you get the inside fixed, it'll take care of the outside. You'll throw down everything you need to throw down. You'll get rid of everything you need to get rid of. You don't have to hum and haw and make 49 reasons listed up and down the hall or the wall or how you're supposed to live. If you get this inside right, it'll work its way to the outside. But God looks at what that commitment you have in here. And God knows. And when you make that commitment in here to Him and say, Lord, here's my all in all. Here's all that I am. All that I'm going to be is what You are going to pour into my spirit. Now, the Bible says, you know, as a man eateth, you know, so is he. If you just have all, you know, junk food diets, you're not going to be very strong muscle-wise, and you're going, health is going to fade and falter. And it's the same way in God. We are what we eat. And that's the reason I'm so hard against preachers that are not declaring the full gospel. The Bible said declare a full counsel. Declare the fullness of this word. You need to know how to fight the devil. The Bible said, how will they know unless someone preach, unless someone tell them. And the Bible tells us by the foolishness of preaching, men and women are saved. The world looks on this thing and says, well, here's a man up waving his arm, all red-faced. Amen. That's foolishness. But God said, but that same foolishness, according to the world's standard, that's wherein men and women are being saved. taste of his word and know it's good. And when you go to him, you take that word inside of you and you've tasted of it and you know it's good. The Bible said many of God's children, they faint because of the lack of knowledge or lack of wisdom. And see, when we take in the word, we learn how. When you've been in the battle and the battle comes, you know what to do if you're rooted and grounded in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. They can come and tell you you're going under, you're going down, but if you know the word tells you that you have the strength to overcome, you have the power to climb forth, you have the power to stand. The word said when you have done all to stand, just simply stand. I mean, the devil done hit you the best shot he's got, and you just standing there. It plumb blubberates the devil, as old song goes. He don't know what in the world to do about it. You ever seen one of them little punching things the kid had that some of them had a face on it, and some of them just had a like a thing out of a boxing thing on it, but whatever it might have had, but they had a spring in them. And that kid could stand there and hit it, and it bounced to the ground, come back up. No matter how many times you hit it, it bounced back up. No matter how fast or how hard, the faster you hit it, the more it comes back and the quicker it comes back. I said, that's a good example of a spirit-filled Christian. Amen. The harder the devil hits you, the stronger you come back. The faster it hits you, the quicker you're back. Amen. We got victory in the Lord. And when the battle's on every side of you, it's good to know that there's no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. Why, in every old tongue that's raised up against you, your righteous in God is going to overcome it and overtake it. People are going to say, well, that ain't so. I know that person. They got a good spirit. They go wagging their tongues and lying on you and doing everything in the world to put you down, and it don't make any difference, because people are going to say, I know better than that. I've seen that person stand through the storms and through the trials and through the battles. And what come what may, they always come out on top. Longtime friend of mine paid me a compliment to my son several years ago. He said, you know, I've noticed your dad. There's something about him. He can get backed in the corner and he always comes out. He can look like he's boxed in and there's just no way he can come through, and he'll come through. He said, I believe the Lord works on his side. See, that's the witness of your righteousness, that people looks upon you and sees that righteousness of God within you. If all they see is what you've tried to hash up or work up or whatever you want to do, put on, take off, or whatever, if that's all they ever see in you, you've missed the whole object of it. We're supposed to be Christ-like, and I will not deny that. I will not deny that we must be holy, for it said, be ye holy as I'm holy, and the Bible said, without holiness no man will see the Lord. I will not deny one aspect of his word. But I'll go to say beyond that, they must see Jesus Christ in you. They must see the light of the gospel within you. If you're going to reach them, they must feel the love of God. And self-righteousness has crept in the door of the church to more or less people think, well, you know, if you're not like I am, you're not going to make it. I thank God I'm not like a lot of church people. I thank God that I'm not like them. I thank God that God schooled me in his word, and I learned to take on the righteousness of God, not my righteousness. For he said all the righteousness I had was filthy rags. All I could muster up, all I could do, all I could say, all I could present, all I could come forth with, God said it's still, according to my standards, it's still filthy rags. But if you take on the righteousness of Christ, if you take on the fullness of God, you take on his power, and you take on his presence, it'll overshadow and leave that presence in people's lives that you come in contact with, and those people you meet. The Bible tells me in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and in verse 21, and this is a ouch verse of scripture. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Some weeks back, I preached a message on the will of God, and Sandy said there's a lot of folks that's been asked for it, and they've sent the message out to a lot of different folks because it talked about the will of God. Of the most important thing in our life, we need to know the will of God. And it goes on to say in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Now, this opens up another area here, and we won't get too far into it, but we wonder, a lot of folks wonder a lot of time, and they say, well, how in the world is that preacher getting by? Or how in the world is that person getting by that's trying to preach the word? Well, they're going to get by the judgment. This is talking about in that day, in the day of judgment. God simply said to him, not everyone's going to enter in. He that doeth my will, my Father which is in heaven. And they're going to come back and they're going to say with a response, Lord, we've prophesied, we've done all these works. Why, Lord, we've even cast devils out in your name. I'm convinced that if we go in the name of Jesus, things are going to happen. I'm convinced a lot of the phony preachers we turn the television on and see, things are happening because they're using the name of Jesus. They're using his word. This word has power to heal. This name has power to save. But he said to those people, then I will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I thought about that. I thought about when he said that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I've searched the book. I've got a pack of these Bibles that I've wore the pages out in them searching the book, looking for deeper understanding, seeking the face of God that I can know more about his will, that I can know more about his word, that I can know more and understand more about what this thing's all about. And I still have a desire in me. Say May the 14th, 1959. Still have a desire all these years later for more of his word. And I've never claimed to know it all. I just know the one that does. I'm just in contact with the one that does, that knows all things. He will bring it to your remembrance. He will quicken it within you. He will open up the scriptures to let you see the things you need. He will show you the mysteries that you cannot figure out in your own wisdom and own knowledge. And he will reveal things unto you that you need to know. I was in the bathroom this morning shaving and getting ready some time after 6 this morning, and I was listening to the radio monitor there that was on, and I stepped back in the bedroom to get a hair dryer to dry my hair, and I looked at both of the monitors that sat there on a desk in my bedroom, and I seen that both stations had went off there. I thought, Lord, I told Jackie, I said, I've got to hurry up and get over to the station. We've got a dilemma. And I got over here, and sure enough, we'd had a dilemma. We'd had some kind of power surge hit us during the night, and it made havoc of the control room. It had tore up more stuff than you could shake a stick at. And I thought, well, no, we got to do something quick. And I began to ask the Lord what to do. And first of all, I was able to get WHHV up. Just a few minutes later, I realized that WGFC was dead in the water. I called Don. I said, Don, I got bad news for you. The feed is down and the station's down. You're going to have to play live music till we get something done. So he put live music on over there. A few minutes later, I realized, well, Lord, if one of these is down, I can't get parts till Monday and they won't be shipped to me till Wednesday. And the Lord, what do you want me to do? He quickened me and he said, you got WNLB running. He said, go in behind it to, you know, and being an engineer, I know what to do when you get the thought in your mind what to do, but you got to have the thought. He impressed me to tie them two together and bring, and about 3 minutes later, we come up with, I called Don, and I said, Don, you can shut down your live feed. I've got a feed coming to you. And I was just getting ready to start loading program. You know, it takes to load from one drive to another, it can take 10 hours to load. I mean, it takes a macro. I could just see myself sitting there all day today, way up into the night, to make that work until tomorrow when I could get parts to fix the unit that was down. And I said, Lord, I want you to show me what's going on here. And the Lord, I want you to show me how to get this unit up. Just like he spoke to me. He said, go in there and get you another monitor off shelf, put another monitor on it, and boot it up again. And the minute I did, on that screen, it come up and give me an error. When I got the error, I knowed what to do with it. 5 minutes later, WGFC and Floyd was cooking again. You know. Now, if you can't see it in the natural, and, you know, it appeared that it wiped out everything on that circuit. But I went in there and laid hands on the side of that big old tower unit. And I said, Jesus, you come fix it and you show me how to get it up this morning. And it's cooking. I don't just go to the Lord for spiritual things. I go to the Lord for my daily walk, for the decisions I make and the things I do. I go to him and I say, Lord, what would you have me to do? When I went as far as I can go in my strength, I go to him and I say, all right, Lord, I'm pushing all I can push. I need you to lay your hand on me and give me a little help. Give me a little push. And I'm glad to know that he's there in the darkest hour of the night. I remember two times in my life, and I'll share this before I move on with this section of scripture. I remember two times in my life that I felt that I was boxed in, and if what was before me was right, then I had a problem. I worked for an organization, a holiness organization, for 13 years. And I found out in the very midst of that organization, they were corrupt. I would not have believed it if 49 preachers packed on a stack of 50 Bibles had come and told me. I said, no, that can't be right. That can't be corruption. That can't be corruption in the dead center of it, to the point that they're completely wrong about the Spirit and the function of the Spirit. Well, I, in both times, acted on what God put in my spirit. It took about 5 hours of living in a place where it looked like it, you had went off the deep end and there was no return, under one of the overseers of that organization come around and grabbed me by the hand and shook my hand and said, you a character, why didn't you tell me? Well, he was operating in the flesh. He was operating what the organization told him to do, and he was 100% wrong. And I turned around in a service, and the Bible says, rebuke not an elder. You know? But I had to turn around and tell him to shut his ungodly mouth and sit down. I told the old overseer of that organization, shut your ungodly mouth and sit down. And that was what the Holy Ghost was leading me. We went through a 5-hour meeting until we walked outside of the building where the meeting was at, and he grabbed me by the hand and said, you know, you're a character. And he told me what all he was going to do to me. He was going to see I was destroyed as a minister of the organization. He was going to put me out in the street. But he was wrong, and the organization was wrong. And the spirit inside of me had to stand up against that. It happened again about 7 or 8 years later, and they endorsed homosexuality. And I had to stand up against the general overseer that time. And it was the same way. It went against everything I've been taught in normal mind. But I had to depend upon that still, small voice that said to me what I must do. And I shook the overseer's hand, hugged him, and walked out of that organization. And I asked God when I got back to my office, I said, God, what's going on? He said, I sent you there to show you the depth of the Pentecostal corruption that's in these organizations. And I've lived long enough to know that in most of the Pentecostal organizations that Satan has worked his way into them, and they have took on ministers and overseers that does not know the mind nor the will of God. Because if the devil can defeat Pentecost in this nation, in this world, he can destroy the whole picture. Because in the Pentecostal message is the depth of what God wants every Christian to know, that you must be filled with the Spirit of God. And so what do we see today? We see most of the Pentecostal organizations, and sad to say, but they're falling prey to endorse homosexuality. We see a lot of the churches is going to ordaining and allowing. If you went in a lot of the holiness organizations and went to the piano and organ players, you'll find a great majority of them are homosexuals or lesbians, or however you want to call it. And one of the largest churches in this part of the country, I asked him, he's got two people working in his, on his platform that's that way. And I asked the pastor, I said, what do you think you're doing? He said, well, you know how hard it is to get good organ players and good piano players. You got to use who's available. I said, sir, I need to go outside in your parking lot and throw up because you make me sick. You make me sick. See, the devil wants to blind men and women from knowing the fullness of God. And Jesus plainly said it. He didn't stutter. He didn't backtrack on it. He simply just said to the depth of it that not everyone shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 19. Starting in verse 18, but the key's in verse 19. It goes on to say that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. For to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the will of the Father. That you not get just a little bit of it and, you know, the end of your finger. But you take the brakes off and say, God, fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet with all your fullness. Fill me. Lord, fill me with the anointing of thou spirit. Fill me with the power of thou spirit. And break every yoke that needs to be broke. Then we come to that point in verse 20 that says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. We have the power, church. The power is available. And it's up to us, or will we allow it to flow into our souls and our spirits? And if we will seek the face of God, God will reveal himself to us. and he will reveal the fullness of his spirit to us. We can overcome the battles. We can overcome everything that's thrown at our feet. We can climb over top of every obstacle. But it takes the will of the Father within us. It takes being filled with all the fullness of God and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that's the message that the devil don't want the church to hear. He wants them to, as the Bible says, be ever learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to learn about the history of the book. He wants you to learn about all the things that's in the Word other than the Spirit and the power. He's scared to death. The devil is scared to death of a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost anointed saint of God, because he has nothing. He has nothing to combat that with. Satan has nothing to stop a Spirit-filled child of God. He has nothing. Nothing to bring you down with. And that's the reason that he wants the church world to believe that if you talk in tongues, there's something wrong with that. That's the reason the majority of the preachers that stand in the pulpits in our county right here preach openly from the pulpit. People that talk in tongues is full of the devil. Those churches are the largest congregation churches. Those churches looks to be the most striving. They have no financial problems. Everything's fine. You know why? The devil will back off and he will leave them alone and he will let them preach that message. He will egg them on. He will send them money to preach that message. But if you preach the fullness of God, the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, and be filled with the fullness of God, be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the devil will fight and he will beat and he will hammer because he don't want the truth to go forward. And if he can't stop a person, he will try to do everything he can to muddy up their testimony, to muddy up to people to where they say, you know, well, there's something wrong with that person. I said it before. I think I said it last week. People said, well, Brother Gold will cast a spell on you, or he'll throw something, some kind of shouting powder on you or whatever. And I've always said I'd like to get hold of some shouting powder because I know a lot of churches I'd like to crop dust with it. Get a plane, catch them in the parking lot to crop dust them. But it don't come by shouting powder. It's not something you work up. Somebody was telling me this week about, went to a service and, you know, I don't know what they seen, but it's talking about how the people worked it up. Well, you can't work it up. You can pray it down. And we better be a worshiper of God, and I'm going to tell you why. We better be. Because Romans, in the first chapter, because when they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Confessing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to the birds and the four-footed beast and the creeping things. Verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is what God said in His Word. We wonder why homosexuality, we wonder why all this is on such a rampage. It's because when they knew God, they wouldn't worship Him and they wouldn't praise Him. You can call it anything you want to, but you better pray down the Spirit in your life. Churches, you better pray down the Spirit in your churches. Because if you don't, you're going to have a mess before it's over with. God, in Jesus' name, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for the truth. We thank You for the power of God. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, that men and women are being healed, touched, delivered, and set free. We thank You for the power of God. We thank You for the anointing of God. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You're going to heal, deliver, and set free. This is our prayer. Amen and amen and amen.